SGMP fans, Hanukkah is the Festival of Lights, and today we're talking about 8 Crazy Nights!
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Guilty Movie Pleasure.
I was prepared for that intro, but then you led it with which I was not prepared for.
I always add a little something. I always sprinkle a little something into the intro or add 45 minutes to it like last week or 2 weeks ago. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, sorry, we're starting late. This is going to be a 30-minute episode, but you're in for a treat. If you didn't watch it live, we just recorded an hour and 38-minute watch-along.
Sure,
of the Star Wars Holiday Special, which Jesse and I, neither of us had ever seen before, and it was a doozy.
It was, I don't recommend it.
I don't, but I recommend watching
our watch-along, but not watching the movie independent of that.
Never.
Because it was not good.
It's the worst.
It was not good.
I'm a huge Star Wars fan. It's one of the worst things I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
And several troubling moments. Anyways, but enough about that.
I'm a fan of softcore porn, and it was in this movie, but I didn't love it. Okay.
Anyways, go ahead. Hey, welcome to Guilty Movie Pleasures. We're talking about 8 Crazy Nights, the Adam Sandler animated classic.
Classic.
I'm your host, Ben Begley. You can find me at the Ben Begley on Twitter and Instagram. With me as always,
Jesse McIntosh.
Yes. Where can they find you, just in case we don't get to it at the end?
Twitter and Instagram at Too Much Jesse and for Sketch at the Prom Losers.
There we go. We're going super
fast.
Boom.
We're flying.
We are like the cast of Gilmore Girls right now. We're so fast.
Yeah, we are almost done. Yeah.
Anyways.
Pitter patter.
So, we wanted to do this movie because you and I talked about it. We were trying, because I don't know if you know this, Jesse's Jewish, everybody.
Yeah. Do you guys know that?
Which we've talked about this
we
on the show
about
before.
We have talked about it before.
We were in a sketch troupe years ago, which we should show you. We should post some of those sketches. Mm-hmm. And we were doing all these Christmas sketches and stuff. And at some point it came up that you were Jewish and it blew our minds.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but it was just like, wait, what? I didn't know that.
Let me say this. Every single fact about me is mind-blowing. I'm not surprised that blew your mind. Yeah.
And then you actually wrote a sketch called mm-hmm. Jesse is Jewish, mm-hmm. where it was basically a comedic take on how much it blew all of our minds.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And so anyways, that's...
And also, like, I wanted to include a Hanukkah sketch. And so that was like...
In a Christmas show. Yeah.
Because
it was very Christmas heavy.
It was very Christmassy.
And we're talking about how, like, I would like to talk about, since this movie's kind of, whatever, like, how is it growing up during Christmas time? Because I feel like I love Christmas, mm-hmm. but I even get overwhelmed by it, where I'm like, when Christmas music starts on November 1st and then goes till like January 10th, and you're just like, the lights are beautiful and everything, but after a while, there's Christmas fatigue. And if you're not even technically celebrating it, like, how does that... as a kid, like, when you were younger and people were talking about Santa and stuff, were you like, screw you guys?
Well, so here's the thing, is my parents, not to get super in the weeds with my life, but my parents split up when I was 4.
The entire thing is just like an intermittent therapy.
And I just, like, start crying into the camera. No, my parents split up when I was 4. My mom was Jewish, and I grew up in my mom's house.
Okay.
But I did go to my dad's a couple days a week, every other weekend, and my stepmom is Christian and celebrated Christmas.
So you got both.
So I got exposure to that.
Okay.
In a little bit of a guilty way. Do you know what I mean? Like, because I was growing up in a Jewish household, and then I went over to, like...
You're like, oh, as a kid, you're opening up presents, like, should I be excited about this? I already got 8.
But it also, like, sort of smoothed any, like, confusion or transition of, like, this is something that's unfamiliar to you that you're never going to understand, but something that everyone else gets.
See, and that's what I think is the shame about... Because Christmas is so shoved down our throat... Mm-hmm. I feel like I know the basics of Hanukkah.
Yeah.
I know, like, it was a... Were people exiled and they had just one candle that lasted 8 nights to keep them warm?
Yeah,
right?
They had enough oil for one night.
And it lasted 8
nights. Of light, and it lasted 8 nights. It's actually, like, not a super important holiday.
It's not.
The much more important holidays are the ones you get off in September, first from school.
Yeah, or auditions, where there's no auditions.
Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are much more important. But since Hanukkah falls in the valley of Christmas,
everybody just assumes, oh, Hanukkah's the big one, right? Because you guys put it next to Christmas. Yeah, and it's like, well, no, we didn't.
Because that's where you inserted your holiday. Well, and it's also like commercialism has like pounced on it as like an opportunity. And like people who don't celebrate Christmas, don't get the gifts from Christmas. So there was, we should get you gifts for the holiday that is right here that we already have on the books.
Yeah. And you get a gift for every night, right?
Yeah. But we used to like have an escalating scale of like the first night you would get like a piece of chocolate or something. You know what I mean? It wasn't like a full gift every night.
A couple of my friends growing up, that would be the case. Is they're like, first night, we like to get to like night five.
Yeah, night five is where the sweet stuff starts. Yeah. And we'd always have them like the presents were not hidden. They were just like on top of our bookcase. So you could see the like size growth. And you'd be like, I'm pretty sure I know what that one is. That one is in the shape of a video game, and that's what I want.
That one's my Sega Genesis. Get me that one. So when we decided to do Eight Crazy Nights, it was because we realized that there weren't a ton of there were no movies that we could think of about Hanukkah. And I was excited for this one because I thought having Adam Sandler do the Hanukkah song back in the day, O.J. Simpson, not a Jew, that whole song was hysterical to me.
Yeah.
And I thought, yes, he basically made a 90-minute movie. And I thought even when it started, I was like, oh, he's this curmudgeon because he's angry that Christmas is celebrated and Hanukkah doesn't get anything. But no, it's just kind of this dark backstory where his parents died around the holidays and he hates all holidays and it's super sad. And there's a lot of super offensive jokes in this movie.
Yep.
But aside from all that, I enjoyed it as an animated, ridiculous movie. I thought it was kind of fun. But as a holiday movie, I can't stand it. And I think it missed the mark. He had an opportunity. And this is what frustrates me with Adam Sandler so much, is we know he can be amazing, like in Punch Drunk Love. And even in Rain Over Me, he had a really good dramatic performance in that. But then he just always does the lowest thing, like reindeers laughing and pooping at the same time.
Yes.
And I would have...
Three breasted women was like the big one.
I would have loved if this movie actually... It had some heart to it, but I would have loved if it actually celebrated Hanukkah a little bit so that the masses of Christian people out there who consume holiday movies, that the Jewish community would have something they could watch around this time.
Yeah.
Like, I can't imagine this being a yearly tradition for anyone to watch this movie.
Is not a Hanukkah movie.
It's not.
It is not.
It's called Eight Crazy Nights.
And
it doesn't even show eight crazy nights happen.
Right. There was no reference to the fact that this happened over 8 days or 8 nights.
It's more of a Christmas movie.
Very few references to Hanukkah
whatsoever. More lights and Christmas stuff going on.
There was just an acknowledgement that Christmas and Hanukkah happen around the same time of the year.
That's it.
That was the only thing. In fact, I think it's the last sound clip. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah. So then the one just prior to that.
So troubling.
Thank you.
Now, for those of you celebrating Christmas tomorrow, I'd just like to say Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas!
And for those of you celebrating the eighth night of Hanukkah this evening, I'd like to say Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah.
Like, that's such a perfect representation of what it is.
And that's what I wanted this movie to be, more inside jokes like that, where it's like, that would have been great if it, to me, if this movie was Adam Sandler trying to make Hanukkah as awesome in this town as Christmas, and like trying to, like Nightmare Before Christmas, how like Jack Skellington tries to take over Christmas. How awesome would that have been? Now, that's my perspective, but what was your perspective on this? What did you think of going into it versus what you got?
Yeah, so it was different than what I thought. Like I said, I thought this was going to be a Hanukkah movie.
As anyone would.
Like, as best as you can adapt a song into a movie, I thought that, it is a line from the song, Eight Crazy Nights.
Yeah.
And so that's what I thought it was going to be. What it was just... like we've talked about a couple times, like it's a holiday movie only like sort of tangentially, like it takes place around the holidays, but it is not a holiday movie.
It's basically the Lethal Weapon of animated movies. Yeah. Like Lethal Weapon takes place. I would argue that Lethal Weapon's a Christmas movie though. I just rewatched it.
Okay. I'm not going to argue with you about it.
Keep going though.
This is a time of peace. but It's really just an Adam Sandler movie, and it felt like, because I guess like because it sort of like walked the line and was non-secular, it felt like it was noted by someone. Like someone was just like, we can't have this just be a Hanukkah movie. And I don't know if that's accurate, but it was, there was so much inclusion of, or exclusion of actual Hanukkah stuff and inclusion of just like, it is the holiday time, broadly speaking, that it just seems like it was not what he intended, but what it turned into was just like an Adam Sandler animated film. And it was like
where he was able to up the grossness and offensive humor because it's animated.
It was like circa the time when he was like on the crest of like, now I'm not going to do stuff anyone likes anymore. But
people watch it on Netflix and stuff. He's one of the highest viewed filmmakers.
Sure. I guess the generation that grew up with Adam Sandler stopped watching Adam Sandler around this time.
Maybe because his humor only works when you're 12 or 13.
I guess so. So there were a lot of like things, like you mentioned a couple of the problematic elements. There were like Rob Schneider playing the Chinese waiter was a tough one. The
seizure fits that, what's his name?
Right. The old guy like the voice of the old guy for the first hour of the movie. I was like, this was the worst choice you could have made. I don't know why this is happening. But by the end of the movie, looking back on the movie, I was like, that was actually kind of an enjoyable experience. And I can't really put my finger on why.
I'm looking up, it on IMDb since it's been a week since I've seen it and I can't remember anything. Who was the guy? Adam Sandler played Whitey. Oh, and Whitey, he played Eleanor.
He played all three, I think.
Here's the thing. Whitey actually, aside from the seizure fits and the fact that he and his twin Eleanor were both born with opposite-sized feet, like she got his big foot and he got her small foot, that joke is fine. I don't mind that as much as the seizuring. When everybody's laughing as he's seizuring and they're like, don't worry, it'll pass, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's just like, I don't know about that, you know? In fact, we have that clip. Let's play clip 10, because that's happy seizure day, right?
Yeah.
This is the happy seizure of my life!
Well, I mean, I guess if you're ranking your seizures... it's good to have a happiest one.
And there's some really touching stuff with Whitey. And that's the thing. I think that what I would gather is what you liked about it. And this is just from my point of view, what I found by the end as well, is there was some genuine heart around just the idea of Whitey, this guy who has everything against him physically, whether it's offensive or not. Yeah. And he still tries to do good by everybody, no matter how many times they shit on him. And there's a cool message there that he's just a great person, but why not have an actual actor do it? And like, not that Adam Sandler's not, but an actual another voice actor instead of a goofy Adam Sandler voice. Because then you undercut the heart of Whitey by this really sweet, kind of heartwarming character being like, "Well, I'm Whitey,
It's all like he does the same voice all the time. Yeah. This one he just like did in falsetto, but it's always just like an affectation where it's like, you sound like you're making fun of mentally challenged people right now. Like, there's no other way to put it. Like, that's what you sound like. And so, like, obviously, like, he runs with a pack and he has those people in all of his movies, and they did a predominant number of the roles in this movie. Like, particularly, we just touched on Adam Sandler did the main three roles. But yeah, would have been nice if we had just like someone else to do this that would have like laid a foundation and given the groundwork for the heart that this character had.
Yeah. And also, the fact that Rob Schneider's character is just named Chinese waiter.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a problem. It's a problem.
So let's get into the first sound clip since we only have 15 minutes left. It's the longest burp. Clip number one.
Well, right now I'm going to go for another restaurant record. Longest burp.
Which is weird, because if you watch our watch-along special of the holiday, the Star Wars holiday special, most of the special is in Wookiee.
Yes, yes.
Wookiees, you could say. And so... most of what the Wookiees say kind of sound like...
well, right now, I'm going to go for another restaurant.
But, no, keep going. There we go. Lumpy's saying this. Mala's going, and Grandpa's going...
Yes.
To the softcore porn watching. Yes.
This is an incredibly meta.
This entire episode is just going to be a promo to watch our watch along.
This is like what kicks off the movie, and it's like, okay, so we're just doing this.
Yeah.
okay. But this feels like Adam Sandler being like, oh, I'm animated, so I can do whatever I want. Here's the first thing I want to do is the longest burp.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So then he's a total jerk. Nobody likes him. I would say he's the antagonist of this movie, and Whitey's the protagonist, is what I would say. And he starts, he used to be this basketball star. Then his parents died the night of his big game. I'm just jumping around because we don't have time to cover the whole plot. But then he goes to the game and he starts helping out this kid whose mom is this single mom.
Whitey saves him from going to jail.
Yeah.
He ran out on the bill. This Chinese restaurant. So he goes to court, and the judge is like, I should sentence
this
you to
jail.
This
is the last time.
Yeah, you're a hooligan. And Whitey comes out, and he says, I think I can save this guy. Have him help me ref this youth league, rec league, because he used to be a basketball star. I think I can rehabilitate this guy. So our second clown sound clip. Our second clown clip is when Adam Sandler, it's his first game reffing, and his heart is not in it.
Mm-mm.
Foul on this kid for eating everything in sight.
there's fat shaming, there's seizure shaming.
Yeah, every kind of shaming you could imagine. Well, at least in this one, he has set himself up to be a bad guy.
Yeah.
So he's not advocating for this necessarily.
And there's some genuinely funny stuff with Adam Sandler being this piece of shit person.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I do like this clip. We'll just go into the next one because it's funny. Set this one up. Did you rhyme by accident? Clip?
So this one, I didn't catch the whole thing. But the whole thing is Whitey taking him through the mall, telling him how much he loves the mall, which is a really funny little bit.
See, there's some great stuff with Whitey.
Whitey just has some weird connection with the mall.
Is that something you prepared, or did you just rhyme that many times in a row by accident?
So he's just going through, talking about all the stuff he loves, and it sounds like a poem.
Yeah.
He's just rhyming everything.
Which I feel like is Adam Sandler recycling and reusing the Scooter McGavin thing in Happy Gilmore when he's like, get out of my way, stay out of my way, or you'll pay, listen to what I say. Oh yeah, you ever gonna go eat some hay? What do you say?
Yeah.
He
loves
man.
Rhymes. What can I? That's the musician in him.
He loves rhymes,
uh-huh.
And that's another moment where, to me, that's a relatable thing with old people in the mall. Like I know growing up in Ohio, my grandma would love to take us to the mall, and you would just walk around, and there'd be these old people just doing laps.
Yeah,
literally, that's what people used to do. I don't see that in California, but in Ohio. Old people, literally, they'd be in jogging suits, and mainly because it would be winter and cold, and we didn't have gyms they'd go to, and they'd just be Jane Fonda power walking around the mall, stopping in KB Toys to get their grandkids something for some weights.
Definitely, we had that too.
Yeah
it's good exercise.
Bringing
you
back.
Get stairs.
So then there's all kinds of ridiculous stuff. Adam Sandler gets taken to Whitey's house. We meet Eleanor, who's also just so sad. Whitey and Eleanor are the saddest characters.
Yeah, she is mad from 40 years ago when someone stole her wig.
Yeah.
That's her thing. She's stuck on that.
It's such a sad character.
Yeah.
They're so depressing. And Adam Sandler's a jerk to both of them. And then there's these magical reindeer that pop up.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And what's this thing with the motor? My brain's melted from the Star Wars holiday special.
He hasn't gotten to their house yet, but Whitey kicks him out of Adam Sandler out of the car right in front of his house, and then he gets stuck in the ice.
And Adam Sandler doesn't help him.
Adam Sandler doesn't help him.
Yeah.
And so the reindeer come, and the reindeer help him out. And this is
doesn't it always make you feel good when you see a group of deer helping a motorist in need?
Which, by the way, at that moment, he freezes, and the deer come and pee on him, right, to thaw him out.
Maybe.
Yes,
maybe.
They do. He gets out. He's frozen.
Yes, he is frozen.
Because Adam Sandler sprays him with the hose.
Yes.
And deer come and pee on him. So, I mean.
Well, doesn't it always make you feel good?
That is deer helping out a motorist.
Yeah.
It does. I've never seen a deer help out a motorist. I've seen a deer be hit by a motorist.
Sure. But I will say it did make me feel good. So, in that sense, yes, it always makes me feel good.
So in the one
to
time
see
I've
deer
seen it.
Helping a motorist, 1 out of 1, 100%.
Yeah, that is a good average to have.
Yeah.
This is the quickest show we've ever done. Except maybe the Halloween 3 one,
yeah,
where we
I
didn't
remember
know
that.
If... so, yeah, he's a total jerk to everybody. He goes... And he starts to bond with this kid,
yes,
and teach him. And then these other jerk cop guys are like, "Hey, we're gonna show you." And he gets his spirit back a little bit. He's like a Harlem Globetrotter. He's so good.
Yes,
it's like Adam Sandler wish fulfillment right there.
It's also like not to burst the bubble of Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
But if you play basketball until you're I don't know how old he was 13 years old
and then stop
and
forever.
Then you stop playing for 17 years, you cannot play anymore. Yeah. You don't just automatically have the skills you had when you were 13
and be even better.
Yeah, there's no way.
Unless he's been practicing on the side, just sadly,
which it doesn't seem like he has. It seems like all he's been doing is drinking
and burping real long.
Yes,
and hanging out and freezing Whitey.
Yeah.
And the worst has happened.
So this is when they set up that Whitey, even though he like has this job as a referee, he has to do all these other dumb odd jobs to make money. Mm-hmm. So he's like cleaning porta potties for these construction guys.
No, I remember
and then
that.
The porta potty gets knocked over and he,
Adam Sandler kicks it over.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Again, then, he's just shitty the entire movie until like the last 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm. And then Whitey emerges from the porta potty covered in poop and says this.
The worst has happened. I'm covered in human feces.
I mean,
did he say feces? Can we play that again?
The worst has happened. I'm covered in human feces.
Feces. Yep. That's one of the... You call this out a lot in things where we've already seen the joke visually.
Yes.
You don't need to tell me as well.
Yes.
And already, like, I didn't need to see him climb out. I just could have heard him slot. I would have rather, like, had that line happen if he's just sloshing around inside.
Yeah.
Or have him climb out and just his hand come out and cut away. The fact that he climbs out like a garbage pail kid covered in poop.
Yes.
And then says that is just like...
is extremely unnecessary.
That's my equivalent of seeing people barf on film.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Nope. Nope.
Not a fan. My barfing is your people covered in poop.
I think I win. So then, okay, so this actually happens. This is a sound clip I know where I forgot that when he's challenging the cops to the basketball game with it's him and the kid versus three adult cops, by the way.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Who clearly have been practicing basketball and playing, like you said, and he has not. And the rule is he's going to give his car up, which he found out was his dad's car. He's going to give his dad's car up if he loses, or the cop has to literally eat his jockstrap.
Yes.
And this is the sound clip for that.
Eat that nut strap, bitch.
That's the aftermath when he's actually chomping on his jockstrap.
Yeah.
And I believe there's a callback later where he's so committed in his honor of in honoring this bet.
Yes.
That later on he's walking around and sees them driving around and he still has part of the jockstrap hanging out of his mouth.
Well, listen, the police officers of this town are nothing if not noble and honest.
Except they're total dicks,
yes,
too.
Yes, they are. I don't understand why this guy was so committed to eating a jockstrap.
And also, the eating the jockstrap is another thing where I was like, I don't need to... They show it in graphic detail because it's animated. He's, like, chomping on this, and he's like... Blah, 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 and it's, like, flopping out, and you're just like...
And it's the other guy, like, some random guy's jockstrap he made him eat.
It's this dude that's like playing basketball with his ass hanging out. And his heavy sack guy. It's so.
And if I were that dude, I would have been like, no, thank you.
Yeah. I would have been like, wait.
When the police officer came and was like, I have to eat your jockstrap.
Excuse me, do I have a say?
Right. Yeah.
Are you going to buy me another jockstrap?
Do you understand consent? I say no.
I say no.
Yeah.
I say no. Just watch the Star Wars Holiday Special. The guy with the bowl head did not understand
that.
He did
not
understand Arthur.
Consent.
Oh God, this is so strange. And so he starts bonding with the kid. Then he's a jerk to the kid. Everything's falling apart. He's a jerk to the mom. He's shunned Whitey again. Whitey loses the ribbon.
Yeah. So this whole thing, Whitey is trying to get the ribbon for like the MVP of
the town,
I guess. Which seems insane to me that this guy has been volunteering his time for a youth basketball league for 34 years unrecognized, and no one would ever be like, hey, let's just throw Whitey one of these.
Yeah.
It's so important to him.
They're all terrible people.
Yeah, this whole town sucks.
They have created the Adam Sandler character.
Yeah, well, the whole town sucks, but somehow they all think Adam Sandler sucks, and he sucks worse. Yeah. There's, like, levels of suck, and Whitey is the only Whitey's one who's like, there. I just want everyone to be happy.
I just want everyone to be happy!
Yeah,
Jesse, you can you tell us what the robot dance was?
I wish I could remember. Let's just hear it and see what it is.
That kind of shoot makes me want to do the robot dance.
That kind of shooting makes me want to do the robot dance, is what Whitey said, and I don't remember where that's from.
Sure, but there is something we didn't talk about. There's some random musical numbers that bust out in
this.
And you didn't get a sound clip from this, but you should just look it up, because there's one of the fun... I liked the Whitey intro song when he's trying to rehabilitate Adam Sandler's character, and he's like, that's a technical foul. I thought that was really funny, like... In the household when, oh, it's his intro to the house.
Yes.
Like, all the rules of the house and these absurd rules with his sister.
Right.
And how, that's a technical foul. You just watch that clip, because that one I was actually laughing at a lot. Because I love my in-laws, but my father-in-law has some very strict rules in the house. So it made me think of, like, next time if he's like, did you take your shoes off? I'll be like, that's a technical foul.
You should definitely do that.
And he'll just be like, what?
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
It's a basketball term.
Yeah, but in this context, yeah. What does that mean?
No, just say it and walk away.
Yeah. The Audrey Hepburn, do you know?
Nope.
Sure.
You look like Audrey Hepburn if she was 4 feet and weighed 300 pounds. Thank you.
So that's when she gets her wig back, right?
That's when she puts on. Yeah, they're going to the event, and she gets out of the car.
So this is Whitey and Eleanor getting ready for the event where he's hoping to get this MVP patch.
It may
sound like we haven't covered much of it, but we've actually
covered... This is basically the entire movie.
We just cut out a lot of dick and fart jokes.
A lot of poop.
Let's play that again. This is her brother complimenting her in the nicest way he can.
She was 4 feet and weighed 300 pounds. Thank you.
And she's so into it. She's, oh, thank you.
That's so sweet. Sad their life is. That is the nicest thing anyone said to Eleanor in decades.
Well, no one ever... She's like a recluse, right?
Yeah.
Isn't she... She never comes out.
Yeah. Yeah. She's got agoraphobia or something.
She has... when she's in the backseat of the car, she has like all three seatbelts on. Yeah.
She's strapped down, laying down.
In a straitjacket, yeah.
And then the guy comes up and is like, Eleanor, I'm sorry I took this wig 40 years ago.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, thank you. And it seems like he's going to profess his love to her. And she just punches him.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic. But then later on, there's a part where like Whitey doesn't get it. Doesn't he seizure and everybody's laughing at him or something awful like that? Or no?
No, I think he just leaves. Like, he just slinks out. Yeah. And then goes to the mall.
And that super like acid trip scene where all the mall billboards come to life and sing to him.
Yeah, that's weird.
And then it's at this moment where Adam Sandler's character realizes all that Whitey's done.
Yes.
And he realizes it's like Whitey is the George Bailey of the movie, and Adam Sandler realizes what life without George Bailey would be.
How about that?
And so he goes and he gets the entire community to come to the mall, and they all, the Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah we already played, but they all celebrate Whitey, and it's this kind of touching moment,
A great moment, yeah.
And if Adam Sandler had just not voiced the character.
Right.
Can we just play? And then he celebrates. He's so overcome with joy. We'll play clip number 10 again that he you know, in such a tasteful joke, starts seizuring on the floor in front of everyone as they smile and sing,
this is the happiest seizure of my life.
And that's how the movie ends.
That's how the movie ends. That's like literally into end credits.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Wow, that was a fast episode.
But we did it. We weren't sure we were going to be able to do it, but we did it.
I apologize, everybody, that this had to be so quick, but I didn't realize the holiday Christmas special, or holiday special, sorry, it's the Life Day special.
The Life Day special.
Which we still don't know what it means. Well, that's an hour and 40 minutes. We had no idea.
We thought it was an hour, so apologies. But we did it. We did two episodes today.
What did you say we did to Hanukkah, though, about this?
I just said shrinking the Hanukkah movie to, like, a 20-minute episode while covering 140-minute...
pushing it aside while...
It's classic Hanukkah treatment. Yeah.
But at least it wasn't a Christmas special.
That's
it was a Life Day special.
Life Day.
So until next time, where can they find you, Jesse?
On Twitter and Instagram at Too Much Jesse, and for Sketch at The Prom Losers.
You can find me at The Ben Begley on Twitter and Instagram. We'll be back after the holidays, so everybody have a safe and happy holiday break. and we'll see you in 2019. Until next year, what is your guilty movie pleasure?
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.